Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 7th of April, recording at 8:53 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets slightly easier for the most part, although China was firmer and right up against its recovery highs. Now, the European stock markets have been on the minus side pretty well all day long, although they paired those losses somewhat. They're modest gains, mostly under 1%, slightly more on the UK FTSE index. And Wall Street's been soft here generally. It had pegged back its losses, but we have a few minutes going before the close, but it's currently down on average about 2%. And long-dated government bonds against that background, well, the European ones were pretty much unchanged. The U.S. bond futures are firmer. The dollar stronger in here again today. but with bears growling out there, at least, well, it's more verbal than in action, but one doesn't want to be complacent. But that actually has steadied the dollar, steadied the yen. Remember, the yen's been very weak recently, and I described it as a crowded trade, yen short. And we also have seen a return of interest in precious metals. Now, this ranges from nothing that big. Gold bullion up $13 as I speak. That takes it up to $8.82. And silver currently 13.5 cents higher. Platinum's probably the most interesting, well, undoubtedly among the precious. That's up at 1,173.5, up no more than the others, but it is pressing right against the upper side of its incredibly orderly trend. And copper appears to be consolidating this week's earlier gains, fairly steady in here at 197 cents. Has been over 200, but just sort of ranging in that 95 to 195 to $2 level. And what else? Industrial metals, mostly a bit firmer. I think tin was a fraction easier here today. Crude oil's a little softer, as is natural gas, down to 3.57 on the natural gas. And soft commodities, looks like they're mostly a little bit lower. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, this is an interesting time for stock markets. My goodness, isn't it every day? But technically, it's interesting because we've had a terrific rally, and that has changed perceptions somewhat. People have, for instance, been talking about instead of sell the rallies, they are now saying, or a lot of them at any rate, are saying buy the dips. We know that we couldn't have had a rally of this magnitude in global stock markets without singeing the eyebrows of the bears and perhaps a little bit more. And I mentioned in my introduction that there had been some bearish growling here recently. I'm certainly impressed by the number of more bearish comments that are either being sent to me or that I'm just turning up in my own right. And we understand why, because it has paid to sell this market over the last 2 years once a rally lost upside momentum. And heck, even in a bull market, it often pays to sell once a good rally loses upside momentum. So this is a kind of a moment of truth here in the struggle between the bulls and the bears. And the question really will be, will the bears muster enough financial firepower to frighten the bulls and shake them out of some of their long positions? Or will that fear of being left out in a rally, which may well have eclipsed the fear of being long in a decline, given the strength of the recent rally, will that interest in buying on dips really cushion stock markets and enable a quite narrow consolidation to take place? Well, we're unlikely to find out pre-Easter, and it may be several weeks before we find out. We haven't seen anything much representing downward dynamics here so far, but we didn't back in January. And you remember that we'd had the year-end rally, and then on the 2nd of January, stock markets were quite strong, and that was pretty much it. And then they went into a slow decline, and having had a few year-end long positions there, I began to identify, you know, with the frog that's swimming in the kettle of warm water over the open flame, and it got fairly hot fairly fast. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Now, there are several levels to mention. Well, one's a percentage change, one's level. In terms of the level, I've mentioned before, last Monday's, not this Monday's, but the previous week's reaction lows. Now, stock markets would have to close below those lows established Monday a week ago to really clearly signify a loss of upside momentum in the beginning of some erosion of support. That would hardly be game, set, and match to the bears, but it would shake confidence a little bit. Now, the other point I want to mention is that something I said before, that Owen and I have mentioned pretty much ever since it was quite apparent that we had a good rally underway back in mid-March. And that was that if stock markets were able to hold approximately half of their gains from the lows, those March lows, then that would be really quite positive and suggest that we were seeing a consolidation and that markets were capable of maintaining their trading ranges. So that's what we want to look for. Meanwhile, I'd be a little careful in here right now. We are short-term overbought, but I want to emphasize that the leadership has been terrific. Again, it's come from the Asian emerging markets, and it has come from the South American resources markets. The best gains, you will have noticed, have been in the most bombed out sectors of the market, and that just tells you how big those actual short positions really were. So we might have a little bit of a nervy period here in the short term. Now, meanwhile, I see Wall Street's gone out with a slightly bigger declines than when I was first doing the review. The S&P's down 20. That takes it back to 815. So it's still holding above that 800 level, but it's only one moderate-sized day's decline away from it, if that's what we're going to see. Moving on, if we see a pause in consolidation, that may firm up these government bond markets a little bit. I don't think there's a great deal more to say about those, except I see some interesting reports showing that China has continued to shorten its maturities, So China doesn't want to buy the US long-dated paper. And apparently the only people who really do want to buy the US long-dated paper is the US Federal Reserve. And it probably doesn't want to buy it all that much, but it needs to as part of its quantitative easing process. And I would be careful about those markets because the long-term picture is one of considerably higher yields. But one might say, well, that will makes it an obvious short. And yes, it does, but it's still tricky in here right now because if the quantitative easing continues, it's well within the Fed's capability. Sorry, I'm going to take the headset off and have a little cough. Sorry about all this human frailty. It's very boring. Not least for your broadcaster here. But my point was that if these global bond markets appear to be weakening, it's not beyond the Fed or any other central bank's firepower to go in and squeeze the bears a little bit, produce a sharp rally. So it's a tricky environment overall, and I've often said that I'll probably miss the trade, or at least certainly the early stages of that trade overall. But another factor that could help to keep long-dated government bond yields from rising very much here. I think they'll rise a little bit as confidence improves in stock markets, but what we may also find, though, is that they don't rise a whole lot just because GDP growth will probably be quite moderate, particularly in the Western countries. Now, that also is a strong argument for the longer base building process, what I've often described as a longer convalescence for not only the Western economies, but also for the Western stock markets. So there's a good case to be made for type 3 base formation patterns. Those are those big long ranging patterns. In the Western stock markets, we don't yet have any clear confirmation that Western stock markets have actually confirmed that the lows are in. There would be some exceptions to that. I would say, for instance, Sweden is an exception to that. And I think we have a lot of good technical evidence to indicate that the leading sectors, again, Asian emerging markets and South American resources markets, we have some very good evidence that the lows are in, indeed, that the lows were way back in October or November for those markets. And a number of them have actually completed base formations, while the lagging Western markets are very much. What they've done has been impressive, but it's no more than following a new low within their bear market declines with a rally back into the lower side of the previous trading range that had existed since late October. That is not a pattern that can support, those are not patterns, those latter ones, that can support major recoveries. So we do have that prospect, as I say, of further base formation development. There's nothing new in suggesting that, but that's not so bad if we get that, considering that most people had been talking about a very big additional downside risk. Now, there's going to be lots of scary news out there for really quite some time. There's all sorts of uncertainty over the U.S. and I think also the U.K. housing market. I think it would be naive to say that it has bottomed. We may see less diabolical news in some sections of that market, but there are all those mortgages that are coming up for a rollover that have to be renegotiated. And Owen's got a piece on that today, using a graph from the Venerable John Hussman. So there are lots of things to be concerned about. The position of the banks is still very much a concern, although they're no longer in total meltdown mode. And I've described the economic situation as one where don't expect a whole lot of good news, but expect the news, some of the news, to be less bad, and that's an improvement. And that's pretty much the way I see it in terms of that overall economic background. Now, moving on to other areas of the money-making areas, well, I've already described the two favorite sectors of the market that that I like, and to repeat it again, it's the Asian emerging markets and the South American resources markets. Now, I don't doubt, though, that if Wall Street were to retest its March low, let alone worse, that negative leash effect would certainly check rallies in the better performing markets and pull them back, but it's not going to pull them back to new lows. And I also said that back earlier in the year, saying that if Wall Street took out the November lows, that would drag the leaders that I've just referred to down, but it was very unlikely to pull them to new lows, and that has clearly been the case. So we do see real money, not just short covering, going into the sectors of the market that we like here at Fuller Money. And the outlook that I expect, when we see a just a steady to let alone rising Wall Street, Wall Street's just moving sideways, let alone rising, then that'll be a very bullish environment for other stock markets because the leash effect will be benign at worst. Conversely, if Wall Street is giving a downward lead, then it reins in potential and causes some pullbacks and corrections elsewhere. The commodities continue to look interesting. Copper has shown a stunning performance overall, and the charts are so orderly that we won't be surprised, any of us who know how to read charts, when that begins to lose form. We could say the same thing about platinum. I also think that gold and silver, which I've described them as being in that awkward phase during which the people who bought really because they feared total economic meltdown, the Armageddon scenario. And we said at the time when the precious metals were very strong and gold was briefly above $1,000 that fear buying would a lot of that would disappear as soon as any confidence returned to stock markets. And that's what we've seen over the last month. And so I described that awkward phase as those people come out, and yet we haven't seen an offsetting influx of new demand from the hard money advocates. And also seasonal factors, which I mentioned previously. Gold is moving into a less ebullient period in its cycle. It tends to do best in the fourth quarter and first quarter of each year. So that's also a factor, but my own hunch is that there's not a whole lot of risk in precious metals at this level, at least relative to other things. They are choppy. We can expect that to continue for a while longer. And overall, market volatility is a little higher than what we would describe as a relaxed, really healthy environment generally. I'm referring to all markets to get that background. So that's pretty much it, except I haven't mentioned currencies here. The yen I described yesterday as being a bit of a crowded trade, but I don't think it will see more than a temporary technical rally in the yen. And the US dollar is ranging around in what I think is extended top formation development. So I think the next big move on the US dollar is downwards, but it may not be a sharp, dramatic drop. It may just be a situation of ranging lower, which is so often what we see. And there's quite a bit of room between current levels on for the US dollar and its lows that we had seen, oh, back around last July, for instance. But I do feel that having seen every other strong currency get knocked off, albeit with the help of their central banks by announcing that they weren't very satisfied with that strength, I do feel that dollar strength leaves it on borrowed time. And my favorite currencies are the Asian resources markets, and I beg your pardon, the Asian emerging markets. And I think also the Brazilian real is coming in for a re-rating. Resources currencies in general, I think, will be a little bit firmer, but the Aussie and the New Zealand dollars have seen a good rally recently. They're due for a bit of a consolidation. A consolidation may be the buzzword here for a while, and that's pretty much it. So, all the very best to all of you.